Would you rather, A or B, sit quietly in the Emirates home end for an Arsenal 4-0 drubbing of Spurs surrounded by obnoxious gooners, or have to defend yourself to Asmir Begovic live on his podcast for a 5-minute tirade on why you thought he was a terrible keeper from podcast footage dug out from 3 years ago? Good morning, patrons, and welcome to your Planet FPL Q&A special. Each and every Monday, we come at you and answer your questions. And you've been good by giving us plenty to talk about today. James, how are we doing?
I'm doing fine, Serge. These are not the people to be telling they're doing bad.
Now, there's plenty of questions in here to get through, which is good. You must be happy with Danny Ings yesterday. Last minute cheeky swap out for Traore.
Well done, Rockstar. I mean, he saved me massively there, hasn't he? Absolutely saved me. I'm thinking of selling him now, by the way.
I sold him last week. I think anybody that's got rid of Danny Ings or is thinking of getting rid of Danny Ings, it's not a bad decision based on the fixtures and stuff that they have. But he is that player, like a Tammy Abraham or whatever. Any given day, they can hurt you. I mean, they've been good this season. And he really looks in the mood, though. He's looked good every game since he's been back.
Did you see Hassan Hüttl's comments after the game, though?
No, I didn't.
Because he's only, like, what, one off Jamie Vardy now, isn't he? Hassan Hüttl said, like, he's going to basically play every game left.
Yeah.
So and, that makes and why me not? Think, I've got to keep him then, I think.
Then why not? We'll see. Danny Ings, indeed.
Considering mine was on the strategy of keeping players to make week-to-week decisions in terms of what the starting 11 would be. And I stand by my comment that I really thought he wouldn't play yesterday. I'm now beginning to think, shit, I probably need to keep him then. Even if I go without for the next few and not start him, like he's got City and Man United in the next three. When I've got such a powerful defence and midfield, I'll probably leave him out for those two and play him for the other four. That's where my thought process is at the moment.
It's interesting at the moment to see. Now, you're talking about Danny Ings you thought wouldn't play. And then we mentioned quite a few players over the weekend that we thought would play that would then affect the midweek fixtures. And I don't think it's gone to plan at all. I captained Bruno Fernandes thinking he wouldn't play. He played 120 minutes. We're saying that Aubameyang's not going to play against Norwich because he's going to play in the FA Cup. Did he play? Did he bollocks? And then you look at Man City and they were pretty much full strength. KDB's in, Sterling's in.
Mahrez played again. Yeah. What does it mean?
So I think with this game week, for everybody that is worrying about the fact that they've lost points on Danny Ings, or on one side you've got Jimenez captaincy blank, so you're like, oh, what's going to happen with that? Never, 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 never count your points till it's all done and dusted. There's a lot of football between now and Thursday.
Absolutely. Very, very true.
Yeah.
Aubameyang owners at the moment should be rubbing their hands together, by the way. Really should. I'm going to assume that Aubameyang owners have captained him. And to say you've got away with it is incorrect. Let's say it's worked your way so far. I still think, by the way, Bruno Fernandes will still start on Tuesday.
I agree with you as well. I think he'll still play.
And I don't regret the Jimenez decision.
No, you can't. It was a 100% logical decision.
What's happened? I mean, it looks like Pulisic is probably going to be out for Chelsea, for example. I think, did you get him in on the wild card?
Who?
Pulisic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like he's probably going to miss Wednesday night by the looks of things.
I couldn't care less.
Couldn't
care less because I need the points, mate.
This risk come round with everyone.
Yeah. It's fun though. It is what it is.
And about you couldn't care less. It just means one of Chelsea's other players will do you over, mate.
We'll see.
Bombing on from left back.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm looking forward to Wednesday night's game. I cleverly invited a couple of mates round for the Thursday game. And then my wife reminded me that it's my son's 8th birthday on Thursday, and maybe in the evening I shouldn't be just inviting my mates around to watch the football and should be spending it with him. So,
it. Schoolboy error, mate. Are you serious?
Yes.
Not even on aeroplane mode?
Nah. Just get rid of the deal. Let's do some of these Twitter questions, shall we?
They're not Twitter questions.
Okay, let's do some of these Slack questions, shall we? You know, Slack internet questions. FPL Tractor, Traore, is he worth the benching risk? Feels like he could go big 1 week to me. I think he's got a goal in him coming soon. I do think that with Traore. I couldn't care less if he was benched, and he had a part to play in the goal, right? He started the move that went through to Jimenez and so on and so on. Any other day, he could pick up an assist. So I don't think it's a problem for me, and he's still cheap. 5.7 million. It's cheap.
I think Arsenal is a start for me, I would have thought.
Yeah.
And then review position afterwards.
Yeah.
That would be my take on that. You know, the thing is with him, it's a very, very unusual case because, and I spoke about this straight after the West Ham game, was like, really, they should leave him on the bench. In spite of how good he is, because the damage he'll do to teams under, and admittedly it was a bit cooler this weekend than that, the damage he could do to teams in this heat against tired minds, tired bodies, etc. And we know Wolves get stronger as second halves go on as well anyway.
Well, look, they scored after he came
play
on.
A different system in each half. And they're so good defensively. Wolves will be happy any game if they get to the final half hour and they're 0-0 and they're bringing him on.
Yeah.
And then he can still return. Part of my theory for leaving him out, once obviously got the Ings news, was obviously I was streaming on YouTube and a few people like, look, you can still do the damage in the last half hour. I'm like, yeah, I know, of course. But the chances are, from an FPL perspective, it's a one-pointer. And you're always going to run that risk with him. My thoughts on, I'd actually moved him to third sub. My reasoning on that was, that if he can't, look at him coming on against West Ham, he creates a goal with a four-point return. Now, if you offer me 4 points from him every week at that value, I'll absolutely take that. But that's almost, what's the ceiling? If he scores, he gets a six. If he gets the only goal, we might get a bit of bonus or something. Probably unlikely to play the like half hour and probably knock into the bonus unless he gets two returns. And therefore, you're potentially leaving out someone else who could start and is obviously capable of doing anything.
Yeah.
So that was my reasoning on knowing that he wouldn't play to then absolutely transfer it out. It was obviously much easier for me looking at Danny Ings as first sub. But I think he would start against Arsenal, and then he's going to be one that he's constantly reviewing, I think, on a week-to-week basis, Traore.
Angus McPhail says, where do we sign up to give BT Sport commentators a lesson on what an assist is?
Oh my gosh, this dickhead Darren Fletcher. not to be confused with the guy who used to play for Manchester United.
No.
So I'm watching the game.
Yeah.
And then Donker scores. Johnny makes a great run into the box.
Yeah.
Jimenez is pulled to the left. Johnny doesn't make the same run. He bombs through the centre of the pitch. Johnny pirouettes around McGinn. Lays it off to Dendonka. Dendonka scores. And then Darren Fletcher's going, that's him and it's his 7th assist of the season. I think, mate, seriously, if you're going to commentate in front of like millions of people, please at least understand what an assist is.
Yeah. I don't know if sometimes... I don't know if sometimes these guys get fed stuff in their ear and then just regurgitate it, because they do have like producers and stats people off air, like, you know, Jimenez's 7th assist or whatever. If you get it in your ear and then you just spit it out, it wouldn't surprise me if he had it going off in his ear. But still,
what do you think the chances are of the stats guy not going knowing what an assist is? That's
they must have just cocked it up. Funny.
Either way, you'll know now, I guarantee you that.
Tim FPL _ Horns. Which football stadium would you most like to visit for a match on either an away day or as a neutral? Mine would be Signal Iduna Park, Dortmund. You've been to Dortmund, right?
Tick, yeah. Great place, amazing. Recommend anyone goes.
Mine's straightforward enough, and I've got a ticket ready and waiting for me as well, for courtesy of our friend Steve Woollyback. I want to stand in the cop. I've never... I'd rather do it as a neutral than obviously watching West Ham there and have to cover up and hide in the middle of the cop. But yeah, I think it's one of those places, and I'd like to do it on a European night maybe. So the cop is the one for me that still, especially if they're going to knock it down and move to Stanley Park or whatever, I want to make sure I get in the middle of the cop before that.
Anfield's somewhere I need to get back to. It's been a very long time. Perhaps we can go up together. You can go in the Omen, I'll go in the away end.
Yeah.
And for once after a game, you can take the piss out of me.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Is there anywhere? I mean, I feel incredibly blessed that the major ones that I wanted to do, I've done them all. So there isn't one for me. I have answered this before, that La Bombonera, Boca Juniors in Argentina would be a wow one to do, I think. I don't see me ever doing it, to be very honest.
You've been to the Maracanã?
No, I've never been to South America. So
it doesn't appeal, the Maracanã? As it's a more legendary stadium.
Yeah, but it's been rebuilt. So, I mean, it doesn't look anything like what it looked when Manchester United went there in 2000, for example.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's got the same prestige to it. I mean, going to Rio would be amazing, right? But so, yeah, I mean, you could put that on the list. But I think, yeah, Boca Juniors River Plate is the one. If I could find a way one day, I'd love to do it. Mm. You? Other than that, I just want to get to fucking Tottenham, by the way.
Anfield, mate. That'll do. Rob Pick. How are we doing, Rob? Rob was one of the cheeky ones that managed to get their question read by Asmir Begovic on Friday. Suyan Shah. what... was going to ask about a Patreon poker tournament. Did you know what's worse than Suyan Shah the other day? I'll tell you what, let's get sidetracked, but this is for the patrons, it's fine. I had a holiday booked in April, right? So obviously holiday got cancelled, had to go through the travel insurance company. So I hadn't heard back from them for 4 weeks. Phoned the travel insurance company the other day. I'm like, on hold, I give them my claim reference or whatever. I'm like, what's going on with my account? Blah, blah, blah. The guy's like, but whose account is this? It's not yours. I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, the name on the account, it's a woman's account. I was like, you fucking bastard. So Nationwide can go fuck themselves. Anyway.
How can a guy say that to you?
Exactly.
I should have reported him.
He apologised, it's fine. Was going to ask about
not
a Patreon.
Know that male lives matter.
Oh, dear. You know, there's another story there for another day that I'm gonna save, but yeah, Black Lives Matter, there you go. I'll tell that story at the end if we still got time. Rob Pick was gonna ask about a Patreon poker tournament, but seems like there's some pros in the house and maybe not. To be honest, James used to play regularly. I'm not a big poker pro, to be honest with you. Any thoughts on any other Patreon Slack competitions you'd like to run or participate in next season? Things like that always add as much discussion within our little community. I do think the little side games are a bit of fun, for sure, in the way that everyone's rallied around Champ Man.
We'll get stuff organised. We'll get a poker night going. Yeah.
I feel like between now and the end of the season, because of the speed with which the games are coming, there's hardly time to squeeze it much in. Like, we've got one night off this week between now and Sunday, which is Friday night, no football. But other than that, it's just constant, relentless. So it's going to be hard to squeeze any of that stuff in. But yeah, I agree that that's the stuff that's bringing the community together, and we've had a bit of fun. Brad Parker, do you think Sheffield United are now starting to level out? The defence has been the best part of the team this season and has certainly kept them in the league, especially when you consider the forwards have been poor in this division. So logically, when their defence has been unsettled, they find it difficult because they don't score enough goals to counter-attack. I mean, you spoke about it. They're what, 30-something goals this season?
Yeah, rubbish. 30 league goals, yeah.
Yeah, if you break down their back line, we've seen it. I honestly am surprised how poorly they have done in the last few games and how much of an impact just one or two changes have had on their team. And now Looney's out. Lundstrom's got an injury, so we don't know how long he's going to be out for as well. Not that he plays in defence, but again, he has been one of their best players this season, without a doubt.
Lundstrom's not pivotal to him, though, in terms of shape, etc.
No, they can replace him, and he's a further forward player.
O'Connell is pivotal, and I'll repeat what I said on, I think, on my Thursday stream, that if O'Connell's fit, I think they'll beat us Thursday. If he's not, I think we'll beat them. I think it's that important. So that if he's back, they're back at where they need to be in terms of the back five and the goalkeeper, and they're the resilient side that we've seen from them all season. They're getting found out a little bit worse now in terms of the scoring the goals. I mean, since the restart, they've scored one goal in, was it four games? And McGoldrick scored it. I mean, couldn't make that up. So they're struggling offensively, and I'm not overly surprised, actually. I'm not overly surprised, but it will make a big difference if they've got O'Connell back Thursday, and it does appear that he probably will be. And if he's back, then suddenly it's a game that I fear because of the way they can overlap. I don't think Mourinho will have anything to counter that. I think if he's not fit, it will be an awful watch as a game of football. And I think Spurs have got more attacking players capable of scoring a goal, and therefore we'd probably beat them.
Yep. Carl JB, yesterday, James informed us that West Ham are a shit bunch of wankers. I wonder if he still holds this opinion or if he'd like to retract it. And something about lots of almosters or something. I feel like I've missed the joke in the stream, and it's now
You've definitely missed it. I should have timestamped what time it was. I don't know where it was. Someone will put in the video what time it was. On West Ham being a shit bunch of wankers, why would I retract that? It's true. Listen to Clash of the Currents.
Are we still doing brutalized? Well, yeah, let everybody have their fun. I think it's not long before Burnley and Palace are going to be feeling the same pain. Are we still bottom of the league in Champ Man? Because I'll be honest with you, I haven't looked at the last game week.
This is where
week.
It came from, because you scored. You went 1-0 up against Everton with 10 minutes to go.
Okay, fair play.
They equalised like straight away.
Oh, wow.
Where I was like, you lot, man. The almost gag came about because when I was doing the stream for that on Saturday, there was loads of people who kept putting, oh, I was going to get him, like I almost got him. So I started taking the piss, and other people were taking the chat going, oh yeah, I almost got such and such, I almost got such and such. It was become a bit of a running joke. And then eventually I had to knock it on the
head.
It's
the same in FPL.
I had to knock it on the head before it got all out of hand with like the, oh, I want you back for good, the Eric Backer jokes. So I just said, look, once it almost made my wife come, so that's where the joke came from. And then there were no more almost because I'd topped it.
FPL Potter Jamie, how are we doing? And hope your dog isn't growing any bigger. What do you miss most about not going to Spurs or West Ham? For me, it's the Saturday morning routine, locking in the team, the oat cake shop, meeting in the pub, walking down the ground. What do you miss most?
I miss being there and being a part of it. I mean, it's changed for me very much since Harry was born, because quite often now I will go to the game, turn around and come back home afterwards.
I was going to say, it's exactly the same for me. My routine used to be 10 years ago when I used to go with my brother. We'd have a routine, fry up, pint, pie, pint, football, pint, home.
That aspect of it's very much changed for myself. Yeah. The thing I miss most is being part of the atmosphere.
It's the raw when you score, but to be honest, I don't miss too much else. We have a question from Benny Blanco. Has playing the Sky game or even Champ Man affected how you now approach FPL at all? It hasn't for me, but then I haven't been that hardcore with Sky, to be honest with you.
Sky and FPL is completely two different things. You could argue that I was so intent on getting poked for Sky that it might have actually influenced my FPL decision once it came round to it, because I knew weeks ago that I was getting Nick Pope for Sky to cover tonight, oddly enough. It might be that the Champ Man games influenced me more. That will sound ridiculous, won't it? Just in the sense that I know with that particular game, I don't fuck about it. Get the best forwards in the game. Make it happen. And that's not something that necessarily should convert into FPL.
There's so many more goals in Champ Man and so many fewer clean sheets in Champ Man. So
absolutely,
it's not really affecting decision making.
I'm very decisive with that in terms of, right, I need that player this game week. If it costs me extra, I'm going to get him. Having said that, being aggressive in FPL was never particularly paid off for me.
No. We have a question coming in from Matt Clean Sheet Wipeout. Which teams do you think deserve our focus in FPL over the next run of two or three games? I mean, you can't discard Wolves not conceding a single goal, but they are only nicking the 1-0s and two. They got us 2-0, but they're not going prolific.
They've already got everyone's attention, haven't they?
City, I mean, regardless of losing against Chelsea.
The new name City. To throw in there is West Ham.
James, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. I tell you what, one thing that I found interesting is how little attention Watford have been getting since the restart. If they hadn't got a 93rd minute equaliser against Leicester, they'd be on 3 defeats from 3. Maybe because I wouldn't feel rude calling them insignificant, but like we lose a game or Villa lose a game, I see it everywhere. So-and-so's getting relegated, so-and-so's getting relegated, West Ham getting relegated, West Ham getting relegated. Watford have, I haven't seen anyone shouting from the rooftops that actually Watford are at risk of going down here, and they've managed to scrape 1 point from the last three. And Southampton was one of those games where you'd think they have to pick up points. And they're not scoring any bloody goals. But
I don't know. Two's more than most, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
I still think they'll stay up quite comfortably, actually.
I mean,
they had a bad day yesterday. Look, it's following the symmetry. If you don't score first, you're in trouble. They haven't scored first in any of the three games. If they score first, it's different games. I think they've got defensive players who will be very comfortable heading the ball out of their penalty box and sitting quite deep. And if you think about the pace of Sarr, Doucouré, I know Welbeck didn't start yesterday, but coming back into that team, they've got the potential to hurt people on the counter-attack. If people are shutting that down, that's going to be a problem. I think for them, the issue yesterday is, and Southampton were much better, Southampton are one of the ropiest teams in this league defensively, and they didn't take advantage of it. They didn't have a shot on target. So you've got no chance of winning the football match, really, if you don't. I mean, they've scored, but it was an own goal. They didn't have a shot on target. And Southampton were thoroughly deserving winners. We've got Chelsea next, then they've got Norwich, Newcastle, West Ham. And they'll take advantage. And for me, they'll get enough points in those three games after the Chelsea game to put them clear. Like 4 or 5 points, I reckon might even be enough for them, mate. I think they'll beat Norwich and Newcastle back-to-back.
Cool. Right. Let's rattle through a few more quickfire. When things are back to normal in a couple of years' time, do you think we'll see more games in the off-season like Champ Man or Virtue FPL or that kind of thing? I suppose probably we will. I think you don't need millions of players to make a game fun. Just like 1,000 players suddenly is a hell of a lot of players. So I think the answer to that one's very straightforward. Yeah, we will.
But then obviously next summer you've got the Euros. The year after, we don't quite know how the calendar's going to work yet to incorporate the World Cup 2022, but it could mean that the Premier League season starts in July, for example. So there's going to be less of a break. So where do you fit these things in? If they're going to be with the Champ Man game, for example, it's not going to finish till August. Therefore, it's going to have been going on for, 5 months? That's a long time, right? And the way their game's structured... Now they're on a website. They probably do have the capability to be going every 2 days or something. But then it can't have the attention to detail that it's got now.
It's hard to concentrate and worry about so many different teams, I think. So it'll be interesting to see what does happen with that. Harbour Boy has a question. What's going wrong at Leicester? And what does Rodgers need to do to get their season back on track?
Something's not right. You can certainly say that. Something's not right, not creating chances. That's the biggest problem right now. You're not creating chances.
Teams sitting deep, that's the problem. And they're not able to create.
This is what we spoke about kind of immediately after the Watford game about, do you see that pass for Vardy ever being on at the moment?
No.
And it's the pass he wants, he's running in behind. How many times can you think you've even seen him chase after a ball into the channel, into the corner flag or something to get Leicester high up the pitch? It's not happening. Teams are obviously just naturally sitting off. You would have thought even yesterday, once Chelsea made the substitutions, the game opened up a little bit. Vardy never really had a sniff, did he?
No.
So, you're right to be concerned about him. I said last midweek, they'll be concerned with what obviously United and Chelsea are doing. And Wolves have now put more pressure on Saturday. United could put more pressure on tomorrow night. And it, on paper, they've got the most difficult fixture against Everton. I think if they lose, they'll fall out the top four, I'm beginning to think.
I don't think Leicester are going to finish top four as it stands at the moment. I'm also not looking at them from an FPL point of view at all anymore.
They're off my radar, I agree with that.
Has there been, Rob Pick again, has there been any confirmation on the plans for when next season will start? If not, what are you currently anticipating? Rob, mate, to be honest, let's get this one finished before we even think about next season.
Really? The news. People's poll.
Well, the newspapers are saying that a second spike's on the way.
Is that correct? Yeah.
Well, I don't.
Is that because dickheads want to have their private parties and go to beaches? Exactly. Yeah.
Well. I just think, I don't know. I want to get this season finished first before we even think about looking at next season, to be honest
with you. Do you want me to take this out of this people's poll that I'm going to about to put in there?
Nah, put it in. Look, all it's right, up to okay. The people. The whole point is, if they want us to talk about it, we'll talk about it. Nick Griffith, there's been a lot of discussion within the Villa fan base calling for Dean Smith's head, given their recent poor form. Do you think they'll be better placed holding on until the end of the season with him or bringing someone else in for the new manager bounce for the remaining six games? I think they're done. I wouldn't change it.
Well, they're not done because nobody else is putting any results together.
No.
They've got Liverpool and Manchester United next. Right, breathing. I wouldn't be surprised if they're sounding someone out now to do the final four games.
Mm.
And with the idea of they know that they're sacking him. I said this when we had Adam Hopcroft on. I said, I think if you have bad results against Sheffield United and Chelsea, you'll get sacked. And I don't think Adam would particularly be too disappointed if it was. Whether it's right or wrong, Villa's best chance of staying up is those final four fixtures and coming up with something different. And a manager bounce might be what it needs. And as harsh as the reality is, they're not going to get anything in the next two, you can't believe. And therefore, if someone comes in and bounces off those final four games, you don't know, it might be enough.
Mm.
It wouldn't surprise me if they're looking at someone else right now.
Yeah, interesting. This one's for you, James, mainly because it's got to do with sitting in the Arsenal end when if they beat you 4-0. So would you rather, A or B, sit quietly in the Emirates home end for an Arsenal 4-0 drubbing of Spurs surrounded by obnoxious gooners, or have to defend yourself to Asmir Begovic live on his podcast for a 5-minute tirade on why you thought he was a terrible keeper from podcast footage dug out from 3 years ago? Oh, could you imagine if he just said, by the way, James,
in episode four... Someone has managed to dig this out. Can you also dig out all the bits where I've said, like, yeah, I wanted him at Spurs back in 2013? Someone's saying it. Yeah, when Asmir Begovic went to Bournemouth, he regressed quite alarmingly, in my opinion. You think, you know, to say it to his face would be quite difficult.
But now he listens. He's not a patron, though, is he? So he's all right.
To answer the question, I would rather explain that to Asmir Begovic than sit in the Arsenal end. No problem at all.
Oh dear, James, what's the most ridiculous fact you know?
My God, that's pretty.
I'm going to have a think about this one. This is from Tim again, FPL Horns. I'm going to have to think about this one. I don't know.
The most ridiculous fact I know, I mean, that's so broad. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I don't know. That the four teams in the FA Cup semi-finals, add Liverpool to them. They're five of only seven teams have won the FA Cup since 1991. Does that work for you?
He did say non-football related as well, if you wanted to.
Oh, the weird... I mean, I don't know much about life other than football, so... Weirdest facts I know.
Yeah.
That's pressure. I need to think about that.
Me too.
Sorry, I didn't.
Baz says, how surprised were you that the stat came out yesterday that the current world number one hasn't owned TAA all season?
Very.
It's mad, isn't it?
But it just proves when we get it all the time about essential.
Yeah,
no player.
No such thing.
He's essential.
Pirlo's pen. If you could reincarnate as an animal, what would you be? Well, I know my favourite animal is gorilla. So if I could reincarnate as a fucking silverback gorilla, trust me, yeah, that would be it. You just sit all day, eat all day, and you're the fucking... beastliest animal. Anyone comes near you, you could kill him with one slap. So yeah, gorilla.
I think I'd be like a hamster or something.
chilling, easy life.
Yeah. Just eating and getting fat.
Oh dear, a couple of more quick and easy ones. Gary Robinson, your favourite Bowie song? I don't really listen to David Bowie, sorry to disappoint.
There's a starman standing on the line. His name is Pochettino and his football blows my mind.
Okay, there we go. Whatever he said.
We did once anyway.
Rob Pick, have you guys ever been to Vegas and what are your thoughts on it if you have? I really didn't expect to like it when I went but ended up loving it more than I should. I've been to Vegas once for a mate's stag do and it's fucking mental and I did like it there. And I really want to go there for my 40th this year, but I don't know if I will. My birthday is the end of October.
Is that your 40th?
And the American election is a few days after, so I quite want to be in America when Trump gets fucked and be in Vegas at the same time and go for 3 or 4 days.
Trump's not going to get fucked. He'll get re-elected, mate.
He's screwed, mate.
He'll get re-elected, mate.
I'll put 50 quid on it now.
Mate,
all them
racists on their farms and that, they're still going to vote for him.
True. Rob also wants to know how many pints you've sent to Rockstar for sorting out the Traore benching and getting Ings sorted, which is good.
Rockstar gets enough plug-in from me. So, he's brilliant. He's the only one worth trusting. There was one, wasn't there, on Saturday. There's this Wolves guy. I know on my deadline stream, I was explaining this. There was a guy on, some Wolves guy, a Wolves fan. He had like 300 followers. And he was like, yeah, I've heard Jimenez is benched, right? And everyone's going mad and they start believing it. Oh, look, he's a Wolves fan. You know, he works for like some phone company or something. I'm like, come on, man. Do you know this guy? Probably shit. Don't believe nothing until you've heard what Rockstar says.
I've stopped believing all these Twitter accounts, mate.
Well,
it's just his
100% record. Yeah. He's like, subscribe, come back. And he started fucking things up and deleting things. Is it even subscribe or is it someone just guessing, right?
Yeah.
Because they've used the word subscribe, they've managed to knock up like 4,000 followers or something. What the fuck did I follow him? I don't know who it is. Mm-hmm. You got to prove yourself to me first. Rockstar is so reliable. He left it late Saturday, though. Like 11:26, properly. Yeah.
Better than nothing.
11:26, properly left it late.
FPO Andy, what are your opinions on the pubs, bars, barbers, etc. reopening? Do you think it's too soon? Will you be going to the pub and getting a pint come next Saturday?
Is it next Saturday reopening?
It's this Saturday, yeah, pubs reopening.
I mean, we drove to our parents yesterday and there was a few places were open. I noticed the bookies
were open. Takeaway.
Bookies was open.
Yep. Shops, retail was open now from last week Monday.
There's a few pubs I saw with like pub gardens, like benches out the front, people sitting out there drinking a pint and stuff.
You can do takeaway, I think, is the way they're looking at it. I'm not in a rush to get back in a pub, mate.
No chance.
You know, it's the same with McDonald's. Like, everyone was piling in. The drive-through queues were like a mile long in some places. The first week and a half, you know what this country's like. Everyone needs to get it out of their system. So I'm steering clear for a week and a half. Let it die down and the hype die down. And then we'll have a look and see what we think. But
I mean,
not for me at the moment.
Zero rush to get that done. No. Zero rush.
Shaker gets the second to last. No, we've got three questions to get through, James. Which goalkeeper is expected to get the most points between now and the end of the season? Front runners for him are De Gea, Edison, Patricio, Lloris, Dubravka, and so on.
Asmir Begovic.
Huh.
No, it's going to be the guys you trust to keep clean sheets, obviously, in terms of the most. Doesn't necessarily make
Edison.
Them the best assets.
Nah. Price-wise.
Edison's stuck at sixes, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'd think Patricio, maybe, you know.
And what you can't allow for is a cheeky penalty save here or there, then you get max bonus points
exactly,
and a cheeky penalty save.
Like
Fabianski, for example, if he gets a clean sheet, penalty save, a max bonus, you've got a 12, 13, 15 pointer there all of a sudden. So, and there will be one or two. You look at Kasper Schmeichel the other day. So,
just on that, Suj, it didn't pass me by that Fabianski was in your wild card with Martinez.
Correct, yeah. I took him over Edison. The reason I did that was because then I could have had a Man City defender because I already had two City players. So it was either Edison or Laporte, defender or goalkeeper. So I thought, well, the reason I went with Edison was the nailed on nature of his position. but then Fabianski's nailed on as well, and it gave me the extra money, which is interesting because I then got rid of Laporte, thinking that, yeah, City are going to keep a lot of the ball, but they are liable to leak at the odd goal or two like they did against Chelsea. So bin off Laporte, and that it eventually gave me enough money to go up to Pulisic, which was good, but then obviously not now because he's flagged, but we'll see.
So I hang on, you're going to be starting Fabianski in a lot of these remaining games, yes?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, no, we'll be all right. Have you... okay, last question's coming in from Curious Cats. What are your thoughts on using the free hit chip in game week 33? And which teams and players would you include? My only remaining chip is the free hit, and I'd prefer to use it sooner rather than later, as I'm trying to make up ground in my mini league.
Liverpool, City, Man United. Good luck fitting them all in.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? I mean, this week, coming off my wild card into next game week, I really like the look of these fixtures for so many of my team.
You could make a case for Sheffield United and Burnley defensively, playing each other.
Southampton away, Burnley, Bournemouth at home, Villa at home. And then you look at Chelsea, have got Watford away. It's decent.
Brighton have got Norwich, but you never know what the bloody team's going to be.
No, that's true.
Other than the defence.
In a strange way, you'd fancy Wolves at home to Arsenal
as a
decent fixture for Wolves. So suddenly you're all right. So if I'm looking at... Yeah, I'm quite happy with my squad at the moment, the way we're about to go into this game week. Good luck fitting them in, as James said. The solution is to go heavy defensively.
Wolves will give you the balance to be able to get a few more in. You're going to have to cut corners a little bit. Like, do you end up going for Foden, for example, to cut a corner? You're going to struggle to get the real power ones in of Liverpool and Man City. I mean, yeah. If you go Liverpool and you go on the free hit with Villa, you're probably going to want to go Trent, Mane, Salah.
You want the attacking options, sir.
Exactly. So good luck getting your De Bruyne's and your Fernandes's and all that to join in as well. Going to be tough. I think the cheap ones, Burnley, Sheffield United defensively, is what will allow you to do it.
Yep.
12 o'clock on a Sunday as well. It smells of 0-0, doesn't it?
It does. When are the fixtures going to be announced for the rest of the season as well?
Well, we can near enough work it out what it's going to be now the FA Cup is complete.
Right.
We'll talk about that on Sky a little bit. You can near enough plot it now, bar a day or two.
Yeah. So there we go. That was all the Twitter questions, James. Nice. Sorry, Slack questions. Let me get it right. All you patrons, thank you so much for your support. Today, obviously, the Clash of the Correspondents has already been released as our main podcast. We'll be coming at you tomorrow with Tottenham and a People's Poll as well. Oh, sorry, a People's Poll.
So the plan is People's Poll vote is going to go out basically once I've dropped this.
Yep.
The winner will go out as per usual, open to everyone. Whatever comes second, we will do for you tomorrow.
Right, okay, perfect.
It
That's
makes
a good
more
solution.
Sense at the moment, Suj. Do Tottenham on the Wednesdays at the moment, because most Tuesdays we're going to need to do a game week preview.
Yep. Also, Wednesday, what do we have Wednesday, James? Sky FF.
So Wednesday will be Sky and Tottenham for the patrons.
Correct.
And Thursday will be quiz for the patrons.
And
Friday will be game week preview for the patrons, plus full podcast reviewing game week. Although that depends a little bit on the people's poll vote.
Yes. So do keep your ears peeled. You obviously know as soon as any content's coming out. Any feedback or any suggestions, always welcome. But stay safe, look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thank you, patrons. Cue music, please, man child. The Fantasy Football Show.